Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today I want to speak on something that affects all of us during the course of our lives. It's something that has the potential to completely derail us and take us away from the good things that God has prepared us for. It's also something that we can't just quickly pray away, or it's not something we're going to overcome just by going to church every now and then. No, this thing has the ability to take hold of us and sink deep into our hearts. And the longer it lives on the inside of us, well, the harder it becomes for us to break free from it. I'm talking about a thing called bitterness. You know, every one of us will have the opportunity to get bitter at various times in life. I think each of us will have to make decisions at different stages of life in response to things that have happened to us or things that have been said about us. And depending on how we respond, well, we will either get better or we will grow bitter. I've titled today's message, Breaking Free from Bitterness. A man by the name of Edwin Markham was a great American poet. He was born in the mid-1800s. And when he reached the age of retirement, he found out that his banker had defrauded him of a great sum of money. And so instead of retiring and enjoying the later years of his life as he thought he would, well, he was left completely broke. And he became so bitter that he couldn't write poetry any longer, which was always his passion. And instead, he became obsessed with wanting to harm this banker that had defrauded him. And all he could do was think about how he had been wronged over and over and over again. Edward Markham eventually became depressed. And one day he was sitting at his desk with his head in his hands, mulling this thing in his head over and over again, of course, growing more bitter each day. And he said that he heard the Holy Spirit speak to him and said to him, if you do not deal with this thing, it's going to ruin you. You cannot afford the price you are paying. You must forgive that man. Well, he was immediately convicted by the Holy Spirit and made the right decision and chose to forgive this man. And Markham later said that at that exact moment, he could feel the bitterness leave his life. His joy came back. He felt peace for the first time since he'd lost all his money. And now with a new lease on life, he then sat down and wrote what became probably his most famous poem entitled Outwitted. You see, Edwin Markham had to make an intentional decision to be free from the bitterness that almost destroyed him. I want to read a key passage of scripture from the book of Hebrews that speaks about bitterness. And we read in Hebrews 12 verse 14, it says, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. You know, this thing called bitterness doesn't just evaporate from our lives. We have to work at it. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Then it says, watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. You know, bitterness can turn our hearts, it can corrupt our souls, and it can actually take us away from God. Verse 16 says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the first son for a single meal. You know, here we see the writer references Esau in the Old Testament, whose heart became bitter. And as a result of that, well, he acted irrationally and foolishly, and he lost both his birthright and the blessing of his father, Isaac. Then verse 17 says, you know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. You know, I think bitterness will bring great sorrow into your life if it is not dealt with correctly. You know, it's interesting here that the Bible refers to bitterness as a root, but not just any old root, a poisonous root. Now, the thing with a root is that before the root appears, it first starts off as a seed. And once that seed gets planted, well, it then begins to grow and develop. And before you know it, that thing that started out as almost nothing, I mean, just a small seed, has grown into something much bigger. Yeah. Now, the seed itself initially seemed like nothing to worry about, but now that a root has formed, it becomes stronger and it has more of a hold on our lives. You know, the problem with roots is that they grow underground. And so that means that they are easy to hide, well, because you can't see them. And so people who are bitter will very seldom admit it. And because it's easy to disguise, well, they pretend everything is good and all is just fine. But all the while, that root is growing and getting stronger, and eventually the fruit begins to show on the surface. Dennis Lyle, who's an Irish preacher, says that the root of bitterness requires very little soil, needs very little cultivation, is very swift to grow, but very tough to remove. You know, bitter people are often very moody. They tend to be ungrateful and very critical. They're often overly sensitive, always complaining about something, generally very insecure, and they hold grudges against others. Why? Well, because bitterness affects us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And, you know, it's a bit like an acid that destroys the container it's in, and then it begins to leak out where others start to see the effects of it. The Christian author T.S. Rendell defines bitterness as follows. He says, it's the atmosphere produced in us internally when we meditate over life's circumstances and decide that we have not been given a fair deal. You know, I wonder whether perhaps you feel like that today, that you haven't been given a fair deal in life, that others are maybe more blessed than you are, or others around you have had better opportunities than what you've had. And maybe you also find yourself using that phrase, yeah, it's so unfair, quite often. Friend, these are warning signs that bitterness is no longer a seed, but has actually begun to sprout and become a root, and therefore needs to be uprooted. A man by the name of Otto von Bismarck was a former Chancellor of Germany, and he was the man who masterminded the unification of Germany in 1871, and he then served as its first Chancellor up until 1890. But despite his political genius, Bismarck was a man eaten up with bitterness towards those who didn't agree with his ideologies. In fact, one morning, Bismarck actually publicly announced, he said, I spent the whole night hating. You know, he became so bitter that his health eventually started declining. He had to grow a beard to hide the twitching muscles of his face. He developed jaundice, gastric ulcers, gallstones, and shingles. And when a publishing company offered to pay him a large sum of money for his life story, well, he began to write about his hatred for many different people, some of who had already been dead for many years. Eventually died at age 83, a bitter, cynical, lonely, and miserable man. It's interesting that the word bitterness actually comes from an old root word meaning to bite. Isn't that interesting, eh? And then I read something fascinating as well this week, and the article said that a rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes become so angry that it will bite itself. And I think that is exactly what harboring bitterness towards others does. It's as if we're biting ourselves. You know, we think it's harming the other person, but like that rattlesnake, we are only hurting ourselves. The Christian leader, Dr. James Merritt, says that bitterness is harbored hurt hidden in the heart. So where does bitterness come from, and how does it get into our hearts? Well, firstly, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Bitterness is rooted in someone else's sin, whether real or imagined. You know, bitterness is always connected to a person, and that person is never ourselves. We don't become bitter because of things we've done or said. I mean, we may have to deal with regret and the consequences of it, but our own actions don't make us bitter. Bitterness comes through something that someone else has done to us or said about us. Sometimes it may be real, other times it might just be hearsay, or it might even be scenarios that we've imagined in our heads. Because remember, if you think about something often enough, you can believe that it actually happened. But very often the original issue or the wrongdoing starts off as one thing, and then because we hold on to it, well, we make it into something that it never was. There's a book called Deadly Roots, The Subtle Destructive Power of Bitterness, and author Richard Hindmarsh says this. He says, bitterness is the internalization and personalization of a real or perceived injustice, resulting in more damage caused by the bitterness than could ever be caused by the injustice. And that's why bitterness is so dangerous. It's because we mull the wrongdoing, again, whether it was real or imagined, over and over again in our heads, and therefore we make it more powerful and way more damaging than whatever the initial issue was. It may have started off as something minor, but by replaying it over and over, we turn it into something major. A man by the name of Alain de Botton, he was a Swiss writer, he said, bitterness is anger that forgot where it came from. Isn't that profound, eh? You know, there's many things that can produce bitterness in us, but it generally comes from the following five ways. And again, these can be real or they can be imagined. It'll come through personal rejection. You know, if someone that we've loved or cared about rejects us or rejects our ideas, well, we can very easily become bitter. You know, if your boyfriend dumps you for someone else or your girlfriend breaks up with you or perhaps you lose your job or you get dismissed, well, these can all be viewed as personal rejection. Then it'll also come through false accusations. When people lie about you, spread gossip about you, if they misquote you or accuse you of saying or doing things that you didn't do, or they judge your actions when you know that your intentions were different. These can all lead to bitterness. Then betrayal. You know, if you confided in someone or you trusted them with something and then that trust was broken, well, that will very easily fuel bitterness. What about the breaking of a promise? You know, if someone has made a promise that is not followed through on, well, that can cause bitterness, particularly if it's someone we look up to and someone we thought that we could count on. And then also abuse. You know, whether that abuse is physical or verbal or emotional or even sexual, many people carry deep wounds through life because of what has been done to them. There's a very important truth that you can write down, and it's this. Bitterness is most often based on the actions of someone close to us. Bitterness is most often based on the actions of someone close to us. You know, think about it like this. If you watch the news on TV and you see something really bad happening in, say, North Korea, or you see people dying in Asia or Central Africa, or even if you see injustices in our own country, you may initially be moved by it, and there may be some emotion that you experience, but we don't become bitter about it. Because it is firstly not a sin directed towards us. And then secondly, well, it's just too far removed from us, no matter how tragic or seemingly unfair it is. We generally don't become bitter because it doesn't affect us personally. But the moment we're directly affected, and particularly when it comes from someone close to us, well, that's when bitterness has the potential to get a hold of us. You know, so for example, if you're in the traffic and a stranger swears at you, well, you don't think much of it. But if your best friend or your boss or your spouse swears at you, well, then you are directly affected by it. You know, if someone you don't know comments negatively on your social media post, well, you don't think too much of it. You just kind of call them an idiot and then you move on. But if a close friend posts the same comment, well, then it becomes much more personal. Why? Because bitterness is most often based on the actions of someone close to us. The sin may be minor, but because the person is close, it becomes bigger than what it initially was. You know, I think one of the most painful things to experience for many people is divorce, especially if you are the person who has been wronged. You know, it's often said that sometimes divorce can be worse than death because, well, not only is the relationship over, but you still have to live with a reminder of that failed relationship each time you see that person. And because a husband or wife is the closest human relationship you can have, it has the biggest hold on us when it fails, and it can cause bitterness, which some people, unfortunately, never ever recover from. But then also is this, bitterness comes when we choose to be offended. It comes when we choose to be offended. You know, I've realized most days we will have opportunity to be offended. In fact, you generally only have to wake up in the morning and there's likely to be something to get offended about. But once you allow that seed of offense to settle in, it very quickly becomes a root of bitterness. Proverbs 18 verse 19 says that an offended friend, notice a close relationship, is harder to win back than a fortified city. Why? Well, because once a person gets offended, it's like trying to pull a weed up out of the ground that has got a really thick and strong root. You know, it doesn't just pop out of the ground. Sometimes you get the top off, but the root stays behind. And all the time it keeps growing deeper and stronger and gets more difficult to get rid of. There's a highly explosive substance called tannerite. And it's most often used in targets on firing ranges. And it's essentially made up of two substances that are completely safe on their own. One is an oxidizer and the other is a catalyst. And when they are kept apart, well, they're generally completely safe. But when you combine them, well, they become highly explosive. And the same happens when you mix an offense with bitterness. You know, in isolation, neither will do serious damage. But the moment you mix them together, well, they produce an explosion of misery in our lives with potentially deadly results. The Bible tells us of Judas, who was one of the 12 disciples who allowed bitterness to creep into his heart. I mean, he was one of the disciples that Jesus handpicked to serve alongside him. And even he succumbed to offense and was strangled by the root of bitterness. You know, in John chapter 12, we read of one such occasion after Jesus had been anointed by Mary with an expensive jar of the best quality perfume. John 12 verse 4 says, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "Oh, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Then verse 7, Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial." You know, here we see Jesus publicly rebuke Judas. And listen, that must have been like throwing petrol onto a fire for Judas. He was already harboring bitterness towards the way Jesus worked. And this new offense, well, it just pushed him over the edge and he ended up betraying Jesus. The book I mentioned earlier called Deadly Roots, the author Richard Hindmarsh goes on to say, he says, bitter people are victims, victims of their own making, imprisoned by their own hands. He says, working as a family physician for 4 decades, I have seen lives destroyed by many agents. I have witnessed cancer taking the life of the young, heart disease killing people in their prime, and addiction robbed the lives of many. Of all these agents of destruction, none compared to the devastating impact of bitterness. Bitterness, he says, will turn the wise into fools, the wealthy into beggars, and the delightful into the disgusting. Bitterness will steal your wealth, your health, and at times, your life. So how do we break free from bitterness? Well, let's see what the word says. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Firstly, if we're going to get rid of bitterness, is we must acknowledge that you have it. You know, you can't fix something that you don't believe you have. Fix something that you don't believe you have. And because bitterness is mostly beneath the surface, well, we can pretend to others that we don't have it. And I think as Christians, we're very good at this. You know, we come to church with our praise Jesus faces on, all dressed up nicely with a big smile on our faces. We say a few things that sound spiritually impressive. We sing along to the songs and we give a few amens during the word. But all the while, bitterness can be festering on the inside. You know, in Psalm 73, it's a psalm of Asaph. He was a great man of faith. He was a worshiper. But look what he acknowledges in Psalm 73, verse 21. He says, "Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside." Friend, if you're harboring bitterness towards someone else, some of these might be clues that you actually have it on the inside of you. You know, if you find yourself constantly thinking about a particular person who did something to you or who said something about you, and you keep replaying it over and over and over in your head, planning how you're going to get even, well, that's bitterness. You know, if every time you go onto Instagram or Facebook, this person posts something, and the moment you see it, there's something cynical on the inside that just jumps up. That's bitterness. You know, you immediately look at what they've posted and you instantly think, yeah, they're either lying or they're just trying to show off. You know, or if you find yourself talking to others about this person in a way that makes them look worse and makes you look better. Or when you get lost in your thoughts and somehow you always end up back thinking about that person in a bad way. That's bitterness. We must acknowledge it. But secondly, make a decision to stop nurturing it. Verse 31 tells us, get rid of all bitterness. It's our job to get rid of bitterness, not God's. He will work with the choices we make. But if we choose to hold on to it, well, then we give him nothing to work with. He's not going to make bitterness magically disappear because it didn't magically get there in the first place. The root of bitterness forms in our hearts because of hurts and offenses we choose to hold on to. And bitterness will leave when we deliberately choose to stop holding on to those things. You know, that scripture we read earlier from Hebrews 12 speaks of Esau who allowed bitterness to get into his heart. And I want to read you the response from his father Isaac to him. Genesis 27, 39. "Finally, his father Isaac said to him, 'You will live away from the riches of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above.'" In other words, you won't live according to God's best when this thing rules you. "You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother." But he then says this, "But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck." If we choose to stop watering that seed of bitterness and stop nurturing and feeding that root that has grown from it, well, only then can we start uprooting this thing. But as long as we keep holding on to the hurt or the offense, well, it'll keep getting stronger and it will end up having more and more power over us. The thing with bitterness is that we can't just pray it away or rebuke the devil. But as the Bible says, we must get rid of bitterness. And we start the process by refusing to hold on to that which was done to us or said of us. You know, if you just leave things the way that they are, well, your heart will grow harder and your soul will grow more bitter. You know, when Nelson Mandela was freed from prison in 1990 after spending 27 years there, he had a big decision to make as to how he would respond to those who had put him in prison and how he would journey forward with the hurt that he carried. And I love what he said at the time. He said, "As I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison." You know, bitterness will always keep us confined and it will prevent us from stepping into the future God has for us. It will also rob us of our joy, our peace, our confidence, our love for others, and we will miss out on all the good things in life because we are so focused on the wrong that was done to us. Then thirdly is this, replace it with kindness. Replace it with kindness. Verse 32a says, "Instead, be kind to each other." You know, Pastor Andre recently recommended a fantastic book to our staff to read It's called The Truth About Us by Brant Hansen. And in the book, he tells the story of the manager at a gym that he went to who he was convinced hated him. He says the manager would always glare at him when he came in and always gave off bad vibes. Anyway, as a result, Brant Hansen started harboring resentment towards the gym manager, and he actually became bitter about having to see him each time he went to the gym. Now, again, whether his response was based on reality or perception, it actually doesn't matter. The seed of bitterness was planted. But before that root began to grow, he chose to respond with kindness to the gym manager, and he writes the following in his book. He says, when Christmas season rolled around, I forced myself to buy the manager a Starbucks gift card and write him a small note, thanking him for all his work. I told him I knew being a manager can be a thankless job, but my wife and I so appreciate all his efforts in making the gym a nice place to be. His work mattered to us. He then went on to write, he said his attitude changed immediately and permanently. When I'd walk in, he'd call out my name and wave from the desk. I went from dreading seeing him to asking God to bless him and his work. I actually suddenly cared. I hadn't before. Friend, if there's someone you are harboring bitterness towards, can I urge you, show kindness to them in some way, no matter how convinced you might be that you shouldn't do it. Now, again, you don't have to go tell them that you've been harboring bitterness towards them. That's not always wisdom. Just start showing kindness toward them and then begin to pray for God to bless them instead of praying for God to take them out as you've probably been praying. And then begin to see how those chains of bitterness that have kept you bound begin to lose their grip on your heart. And fourthly is this, forgive quickly. Forgive quickly. Verse 32b says, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, it's impossible to uproot bitterness without genuine forgiveness. Anything less than you will find that you keep going back to that hurt. And the quicker we forgive, well, the quicker we can be free from the hold of bitterness. You know, I read something very interesting this past week where the person writing the article noted that whenever you watch a tennis match on TV, that just before a commercial break, they will often show one of the players glaring over the net at the opponent. At least that's the way it appears because, you know, apparently even sports film crews have learned that a quick glance can be turned into a menacing stare simply by slowing it down. Friend, don't allow what should just be a quick glance to become this long stare down. Deal with life in real time rather than in a stretched out, exaggerated replay of bitterness. Forgive quickly so that you can move on. Do what needs to be done to put it behind you. Don't spend too much time thinking about an insult or an offense because the longer you leave it, well, the harder it becomes to fix. William Arthur Ward, the famous American writer, once said that forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment and the handcuffs of hate. It is a power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. You know, living free of bitterness is not just about living better now and experiencing more joy and peace today. No, no, it's something that if left unchecked will eventually infiltrate every area of life. Bitterness is a root that keeps growing. It will rob us of the abundant life Jesus offers us today, and it will eventually affect where we spend eternity because it will end up causing us to be bitter towards God. Here's something important to note. The longer we stay bitter towards people, the more likely we are to become bitter towards God. The longer we stay bitter towards people, the more likely we are to become bitter towards God. In a book called How to Be Free from Bitterness, author Jim Wilson says, offenses we refuse to give up not only injure us emotionally, but they have the power to exact an enormous spiritual toll. If not put behind us, they can have eternal repercussions. A man by the name of Franklin Pierce was the 14th president of the United States between 1853 and 1857, and he was the only president elect who refused to use a Bible for swearing in at his inauguration. You see, just prior to the event, Franklin Pierce's wife and their 11-year-old son, Benny, were involved in a train crash. Neither Pierce nor his wife were injured, but their son was killed, and he couldn't reconcile how God would let such a thing happen. So he refused to have a Bible during his swearing in office. He had become bitter towards God. And friend, that's a terrible place to find yourself in life. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says that some of the friends and family of Jesus became offended that he claimed to be the Messiah, and it caused their hearts to become bitter towards him. Mark 6:3 says they scoffed. Ah, he's just a carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And his sisters live right here among us. It says they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. You see, bitterness left unchecked will eventually lead to unbelief. You will drift further and further away from God because, well, I guess you'll ultimately believe that he's wronged you and hasn't been fair to you, and you will be unable to put your trust in him. Hope that has encouraged you today and helped you to get beyond bitterness. Now, before we give people the opportunity to respond, I want to pray for people who are carrying bitterness in their hearts and are struggling to let go. You know, the good news is that you don't have to carry it another day. The bad news is that no one can choose it on your behalf. You have to choose to be free. It's your decision. But if that is you today and you've been struggling with bitterness, let me pray for you. Father, I just bring everyone right now who's watching online to you who's struggling with bitterness, Lord. Many have been carrying this for years and years and years. I pray today for a breakthrough, Lord. I pray firstly that we'd be able to acknowledge that we do have bitterness. Let us not pretend it's not there. Then that we would make the decision to stop nurturing it, to stop thinking about that thing, to take control of our thought life. Then I also pray that you would help us show kindness to this person, Lord, as difficult as it may be. Help us to be kind. And then I pray that you would give people the strength to forgive, Lord, because it's forgiveness that breaks the chains of bitterness. I pray for strength, I pray for courage, but I pray that people would be set free today from bitterness. In Jesus' name, amen. Then if you've never repented of your sins and opened your heart to Jesus, well, I want to pray for you in a moment. Friend, Jesus died for our sins so that we could be free to choose him as Lord and invite him into our hearts. Jesus offers forgiveness. He washes us clean by his blood that was shed at the cross. He makes us right with God the Father, and he gives us the hope and the promise of eternal life. John 3:16 says that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you need to open your heart to the Lord, would you pray with me as well? Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you died on a cross for me, Lord. I open my heart to you today. I repent of my sins and acknowledge that I'm a sinner. But today I put my full trust in you. I want to be born again. I want to be made new. Thank you that you wash me clean through your blood. Thank you that I have a hope and a future. I surrender to you in full, in Jesus' name. And all those who prayed that said, amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.